So today, an unusual message, because I want us to, instead of fast forwarding, I want us to go back to about 1947 or so. I'm probably 12 or 13 years old. It's Christmas morning, and so we're getting presents, right? And so my family's gathered here, and so my mom is going to give me a present. So, Mom, would you come bring me a present? Mom? 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 Is my mom here? I'm sorry. Go back. Mom? Okay. Okay, thank you.
I thought I was dead.
Okay. Well, like I say, this is a beautiful present, right? It's a great present. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ah, I love the present. I can hardly wait to get into this. Oh, gosh. It's so exciting. That's not what I wanted for Christmas. Oh, well, maybe another present will come my way. It's my dad. Come on, Dad. Dad. Pretend you're my dad, okay? Okay, thank you so much. Wow. Wow, this is heavy. Thank you. Wow. Would you say this is heavy? Well, I can hardly wait to open this one. Yes! It's going to be great. Ah. It's heavy, heavy, heavy presents have messages. Ah, I think it's got a message. Ah, beautiful box. Thank you, Dad. That's a beautiful box. It's so heavy, I can't hardly wait to open it up. I've been tricked. There's a rock in here. And that's not what I wanted for Christmas either. Homie. Let me ask you, anybody here got a present that you got that you did not want for Christmas? Lift your hand. Okay. Somebody asked me, how many did you have in church Sunday? And I can honestly say, today, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that we had between 200 and 300 people here. I don't lie. We had between 200 and 300 people here. And most of the people lifted their, between 200 and 300 people here. And most of the people lifted their hands because they got a present that they did not want. I'm wondering if my associates, I don't even have an associate here. Would you be my associate, please? Pass all these out between the 200 and 300 people. Well, I tell you what, the reason I said that was I went to a pastor's meeting once and all the big guys were bragging about their big churches and I'm just a little pea shooter. And how many, Carlson, how many do you have in your church Sunday? And I said, okay, guys, we had between 200 and 300. No, yes. And I had to say it several times. And finally they caught on. We had between 200 and 300 people. Thank you for passing this out for me. I hope that you will take an extra one and take it home as evangelism, if you please. Anyway, the question is, as we see on the screen, will Jesus get what he wants for Christmas? After all, whose birthday is it? Okay, now, what I'm suggesting to you in this message is that you have the ability to give a great present to Jesus. It's costly in a manner of speaking, but yet every one of you have the ability to give to Jesus these presents that I'm going to mention to you. Now, it's not new, but I'm hoping that it will be a reminder that what we can give to Jesus. I know that ignoring Jesus on his birthday is one of the greatest sins that we as Christians commit. We go through the same old thing every year, every year. It's the 12 days of Christmas, da, 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 and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Well, we are forgetting why we even have Christmas. Because whose birthday is it? Come on, people. Yes, 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 yes. So here, does Jesus have reactions? Did you see the reaction that I had when I opened these gifts for my mom and my dad? Yes, strange. The Bible says that he snorted like a horse. That's pretty bad. The Bible says that he wept. He got mad. So let's do this, people. Let us establish the fact that dear Jesus does have emotions. All of you have emotions, right? And so he does have emotions. And I think further, people, that ignoring Jesus is one of the great sins that we commit as Christians on his birthday. So the scripture we're going to bounce off of is from 1 Samuel 3:1. It says, the young man Samuel was ministering before the Lord under Eli. It says here that Samuel was ministering unto the Lord. He may have been 12 years of age. He may have been older. The Greek word identifying him is from a guy who was birthed up to age 40. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, nevertheless, he was a very young man. I believe he was 18 years old, ministering before the Lord. Josephus was called to his prophetic office at the age 12. At that age, a Jewish boy became what you might call a son of the law and was regarded as personally responsible, had a responsibility to be obedient to the law. And remember Jesus when he went into the temple? How old was he? 12 years old. A lady came to my house yesterday, and in the course of conversation, she said to me that her son, when he was really young, but now he's into college, felt the Lord calling upon his call upon him. And I explained to her that when I was a little kid, I remember telling my mom, it's on my website recording, saying that I want to sell apples during the week and I want to preach on Sunday. So nevertheless, here I'm doing what I'm doing for you. But anyway, Jesus came there, Samuel was ministering to the Lord. And I think one of the, I don't think anymore, not dear. Do you know that all of you are ministers? You are ministers. No, not me. I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. You are a minister. In the marquee in front of my church in King City, where I was for 29 years, we changed it off and on. But for a long time, it said the name of the church, Community Church King City, and then it said ministers, the congregation, Pastor Neil Carlson. So you see, we are ministers. So the scripture here that we read or you saw on the screen from 1 Samuel 3:1 says that he ministered to the Lord. So, yeah, I think it's on your notes. We may think of God in that same way. We pray to get from God most of our prayers, right? If God owns it all, what could he possibly need from us? So don't think too much of God needing anything. He has all he needs, but someone said the cross is proof of that. The cross shows desperately God loves us and needs our love in return. And then we got the story of Abel. God commended him by accepting his gift. So I don't want to be a religious. I don't want to be offending God, but I think he has needs. He needs your fingerprint. Look at your thumb for a moment. It's your fingerprint. It doesn't match my fingerprint at all. So I can't do certain things for you. I can pray for you, of course. But the point is that it was like my throwing the gift down. It's a performance that we show to God. we just have to realize that God needs us to do certain things. So on the screen, on your handout, you'll see this. Number one, God's got some needs. Yeah, somebody said, how could he have needs? He has everything. He's given everything. How could Almighty God have something that I can give him? Well, like I say, this is not going to be new to any one of you, but it is new to me in that I could give him, first of all, praise. Don't we all like praise? Coffee was really good this morning, okay? I like the way you put together some things. I like the way you guys came in. Somebody cooked something for you, you thank them. We just love that praise. You did a good job. Well done. And it builds you up. It puts a smile on your face if you get praise. So the scripture is, great is the Lord and worthy of praise. So he needs to be included in our plans and what we do. And we say, oh, we did it. But, you know, we really didn't do it. And then I remember this, the story of an organ. Oh, can I chase one rabbit with you for you? Okay. I spoke at this place, and after this lady came forward, and she said, Neil, would you like an organ? And I said, she said a piano, but it turned out to be an organ. I said, well, I don't know what I'll do with it, but sure, I've got to give it away. Would you take it? So I made arrangements with a friend of mine to go get this piano, which turned out to be an organ. So in the course of it all, I told some of my friends the next day that I had an organ transplant last week. And they said, what? You look pretty healthy, Neil. Yeah, I did. I'm not lying. I had an organ transplant. Then I had to tell him what it was all about. I transported the organ from Los Osos to Morro Bay, where I'm living now. So I had that organ transplant. Okay. If any of you want an organ, I'll be happy to give it to you too. Anyway, so the story is this. Back in the days, the beautiful stage arrangement, this lady comes out and she plays on the organ. It was a magnificent performance. I mean, it was just above it all. And when she finished, everybody clapped. Oh, she did such a beautiful job. You did such a beautiful job. And then while she was standing in front of all these people, accepting the accolades and bowing back and forth, she felt something pulling on her long dress. And she turned, and there was this guy, a little scrawny, raggedy-like guy. And he looked up to her, and he said, Madam, didn't we do a good job? Because it was a pump organ. And he had to be doing this so that she could do this, so that she could bow down and do that. And so finally it registered with her. And so she turned and did this to him, and then the people all clapped to him. The point is, the praise was given where the praise was supposed to be. So why do you think he created the Sabbath day? Because we get so caught up with people and with plans and with worldly activities. Like, we just don't know how to be still. I'm talking to myself now. Be still and know that I am God. I trust that you would do this often throughout the day, people. Be still. You know, turn what you got, all these electronic devices, turn everything off and just be still for a moment. And you know what? The Bible says that King David, 5 times a day, got still and he blessed the Lord. I challenge you to try that. Okay, how about 3 times? And then you can go to 5. And I'm working on that 5. I'm trying to pass that because I know that praising him is really something good. And it's a present that you can give him. It's just praise God. Maybe you've never thought about that. Would you just say, I praise you, Jesus, now? All of you. I praise you, Jesus, now. Now, If you could see him, hear him, he would say, thank you. Thank you. He, God, Jesus, say, Neil, thank you. Okay, he needs our praise. And secondly, you don't already know this, but it's on your handout. It's a beautiful wrapped up gift. He needs to be loved. It is so beautiful when my kids, my grandchildren, or my great-grandkids, now got two, will come to me and they say, Papa or Dad, I love you. Doesn't that make you feel good? Hey, I mean it. I love you. And so Jesus, here, there, wherever you want to think of him being, all I've done for you, can't you see I love you? And I think it's so simple. We sing about it. We know about it from all the way up. But do we really try to take time to love on him? I love it when people love on me. Let you have that experience, people, of loving on Jesus. He wants to be loved. He wants to be loved. And when people come to me as a child or as an older people, they hold me tenderly because we are expressing a great love. Maybe some of you have not had a good father-daughter, family-son relationship, and that makes a difference too. But still, nevertheless, God, I love you. It's so simple. It's a simple gift that we can give him. And it's very meaningful. And it's a different kind of a gift. Well, how do I put it this way? I carry charged up cards to Burger King. And when people I see are in need, I don't give them money because they'll either do this or that. So I give them a charged up card. And that's really good for them. But as a young person, would it be, okay, a teenager, if I gave them a charged up card to Burger King, that would be great. But if I gave them a present with a mechanical toy, wouldn't that be different? It speaks differently. So what I'm trying to say to myself is, to you, we've got to recognize that Jesus needs to be loved. And I think we flip it over. So the scripture says, Matthew 23:37-38, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Love. In word, in actions. That's so very important. Love the Lord your God. I'm reminded of this story. These kids were out running around, and near their house was this nice home, and they walked to where they were going to their destination, and they heard the man of the house behind the house in the behind the garage crying, and they thought to themselves, well, what's happening? And they went around and they saw this guy crying, and they couldn't understand why he was crying. And it turns out when they talked to him, he said, nobody loves me. Everybody wants my money. Everybody wants what I've got. But you know what? I just want to be loved. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He wants us just to love him. And I know this is not new to you, but we were created in his image. And so as Jesus wept, Jesus got angry, Jesus had emotions, he has feelings, and he needs this part of our humanity. Just like a husband and wife and children, they need the love. So, on your notes, we are so conditioned to the fact that God is almighty and all-powerful, it's hard for us to think of him as needing anything. It is almost as if we are humanizing him, but it's not that scripture. God is why he made us in the first place, as the great lover. And he needs people to love and to be loved by them in return. So, okay, we got praise. We got this beautiful present to give him on his birthday of praising. We got his loving. But now, number three is what? Jesus needs to feel wanted. Wow. Have you ever been in a position where you just felt you wanted to be wanted? Anybody? You know, you want to be wanted. Ever read the want ads? And there's a section about personal people. You can read what people are wanting. For many years, in fact, I still have the Dollar Devotion. I would advertise the Dollar Devotion in the personal want ads in the San Francisco Chronicle. And it just said, discouraged, telephone the number. And we would have sometimes 75 to 100 calls, people reading the want ads and dialing in. Because people just have this, it's built into them. They just want to be wanted. And when we are ministering to Jesus, we can't forget that you are ministers, right? And so you are ministering to Jesus. When you are ministering to Jesus, it requires intimacy. It's a difference between formal and informal. You may go to somebody's house all dressed up, or you may go to somebody's house dressed down. Now, really dressed down. But it's this intimacy that God has asked us to have with him. Have you ever just sat in a chair and pictured Jesus across the room? Anybody done that? Don't lift your hand, but I hope you have. Sometimes when Nanny, my wife, was quite ill before she left me to live with him, I would put this beautiful picture that we have of Jesus in a chair in front of her. And she was confined to her wheelchair a lot, so she had Parkinson's. So we would sit there and just look at Jesus. It was like dating him, you know? It's so important. And even today, every day, I make it a point to sit in my little room in my cabin. I call it a cabin because it's knotty pine throughout it. I just sit there, and I pretend Jesus is there. And sometimes I'm driving the car. I know people think I've lost it, but anyway, I reach over as if he's there. Did I say as if he was there? Of course he's there. I'm driving, but he's there. And I reach over. What would happen if I actually felt him squeeze my hand? We may have an accident, I don't know. But anyway, the point is, we've just got to let him know that we have an intimacy with him. It's so important. And the scripture, Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his image, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. So you've been created in the image of God. So in that concept of being in the image of God, let's just give him what he wants for Christmas. He wants to be wanted so bad. Which leads us to the fourth present. All my messages have 4 points usually. And this is it. He needs your presence. He needs your presence. It's a little bit different. And feeling wanted in presence. He needs your presence. He's with us, but yet he wants his presence. And that, and the scripture that I wrote down was Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we sing that song sometimes. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, we have that friend. He laid his life down for us. He's asked us to do likewise. Enoch was called a friend of God. James 4:4 says, he who is a friend of the... Oh, listen to this. He, she, who is a friend of the world is an enemy to God. I put ouch in my notes here because that's pretty heavy. So take time throughout the day to give him your presence, and that is a present that you can give. So he needed his disciples, And I think you see on the screen here, the disciples blew it. They just completely blew it. And here's what happened. Wouldn't it have been great if Jesus had been ministered to him by his own friends? Jesus had a need. He needed their presence. He needed their concern. He needed their love. And yet, what were they doing? They were asleep. So it may sound strange to you. I think it is strange to a lot of people. That God has needs? Yes, he does. And will Jesus get what he wants for his birthday? I did not get what I wanted for my birthday many years ago. And some of you responded that you have not gotten what you wanted for your birthday many years ago or recently. But yet, we have an opportunity to give what he wants. He wants his praise. He wants to be loved. He wants to be wanted. And he wants our presence. So when we get a taste of this, and when we get his response in our soul, we will be very glad that we gave Jesus what he wanted for Christmas. So right now, I want you to bring your present in his presence. Bow your heads, would you? You know, it is a call, first of all, for salvation. I have to say that at every message. Because there could be somebody who's never accepted Jesus. And maybe you may be listening to me somewhere right now around the world. You've never accepted Jesus. This is the great present. It's a great present. To believe what he did for you is a simple matter of saying, I believe, I accept the atonement, the paid month for my sins, and I accept the free gift, Lord Jesus. And then we who are saved, we say, Lord, we're going to do more for you. We're going to fulfill your need for the praise, to be loved, to be wanted in your presence. And Father, we who have gathered in this, your house right now, have brought our temple here, our being here, and in that being, there are great needs. And you know what your need is right now, don't you, dear people? Take a moment and tell Jesus what your need is. And he can hear. Can you hear me now? Yes, he can hear you as you think. I want you to identify right now at least one need that you have. It's like saying, Jesus, would you please give me the present of this financial difficulty that I'm in? Dear Jesus, would you please give me the present of a relationship situation? Dear Jesus, would you please bless me through a spouse ordeal? Dear Jesus, would you please give me the present of a job? Dear Jesus, would you show up as a doctor to me right now for that infirmity that I've got, be it visible or invisible, but painful to me? And so, dear Jesus, I'm asking now that you minister to us right now. And let me ask each one of you to do this. Your head's bowed. Would you take your hand and would you put your hand on your forehead right now? I'm not looking, but would you do that? Jesus says, put your hand on your forehead. And as a minister yourself, laying hands upon yourself, I pray, dear Jesus, that in the name of Jesus, we apply to ourselves that name and that blood right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, mate. Take your hand away. But then I want to further pray for our dear pastor and those that are with him where they are right now. Father God, I just thank you for the expansion of your kingdom that comes through what is being done by our dear pastor and those that are with him. Souls saved, other souls fortified in Jesus. And I pray for safety there and return for all of those in that team. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we have done what we have done, one more thing that we can do, and that is to give to back to Jesus. Not these four things, but our monetary thank you, Jesus, because after all, he has given us all things. So we'll accept offering this time. Would a couple of our ushers come forward? You can make your way through the massive crowd. Father God, I thank you for the ability that we can return to you because all that we have is from you. And I pray that you would help us to realize that we can't outgive you. And you've told us to bring our tithes and you have ordered the offering as well. So accept the tithes and accept the offerings right now that we give to you. In your name, amen, amen. And I'm sure you can hear the heavenly angels singing right now.